Why don't we stand to our feet all over the building and let's just do that right now. Let's give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We praise you this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I feel his presence this morning. Hallelujah. Today is your day. What are you going to do with it? It's up to you. Nobody can make you do it. Nobody made you come to church this morning. It's your day. You've got to do something with it. So we're glad you're here. Hallelujah. I want to go to the word of the Lord this morning. We're going to go to John 14. Start with verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he went to prepare a place for us. That excites me. That's exciting news. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Who wants to be there? I want to make it. I want to be there. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Lord Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to understanding. Give us a desire to live for you above all else. Make us willing servants, God. Touch this Sunday school class this morning. Touch our worship service. Touch every individual here today. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're seated, bump your neighbor and say, he went to prepare a place for us. Are you ready? Picking up with verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you just briefly this morning. When God becomes a stranger. When God becomes a stranger. There are people that knew me as a child, as a little guy. But because of time and because of distance, we have become complete strangers. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Think back over the years, that family reunion maybe you went to. You know, the old ladies that would come up and begin to talk to you about how they used to change your diapers and you didn't know them from Adam? Has that ever happened? It's happened to me. They grab your cheek and pinch you. Oh, it's so good to see you. And you're like, you're pinching my cheek and it hurts. But they're a complete stranger to you. And what happened is that they remembered you, but they were complete strangers to you because the relationship was not kept up close and personal. It is my opinion that we never become strangers to God, but strangers of God. He knows us, but we have not kept the relationship up and open with God. Psalms 50 and verse 11, I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Psalms 139 verse 1, O Lord, thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Seeing this, it is my conclusion that we can never become strangers to God, but He can become a stranger to us. Remember this morning when I started, we have a choice. Every one of you had a choice this morning when you got up, and thank God you could put on your clothes and you didn't have to be assistant. You could get in a car and you could ride to church or drive to church. And most of us here didn't have to walk to church. Technically, I did walk to church this morning because I like to come a lot earlier than my wife can get ready for, but that's another subject. But I walked to church this morning. It felt good. It's a beautiful day. Hallelujah. The birds are chirping. The little squirrels are out playing. It's a beautiful morning. I made a choice. I'm going to have a good day. Whether you like it or not, it's going to be a great day. Hallelujah. You got to have, it's about your attitude. You got to make some choices in life. God's not a stranger. But He can become a stranger to you and I because of our choices. Jesus asked Philip, have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Philip had been a close associate of Jesus for over 3 years, and yet Jesus was still a stranger to him. I've often wondered how awesome it would have been to have been in that time, in that place, and maybe not even one of the many that got to be right directly connected, but just to see Jesus or to hear about Jesus. You know, we hear about our so-called superstars in the world today, and this quarterback and this pitcher and this team, and these people are made into heroes and to God-like figures for many young people across the world today. But when you're sick and dying in the hospital bed, you're not praying to Michael Jordan or LeBron James. You're praying to Jesus. I this very week in the hospital and Life Flight, we heard the chopper coming in and the family. I'm telling you, they walked in. I can tell you, they don't go to church or live for God. They have some baggage. They have some issues. They have some problems, and they rushed them in the back, and they put them in their own little private room, which is not fun at all. You're not in the main waiting room. Your family gets its own little room. And I asked one of the guys going in, I said, would it be okay? I would like to come pray with y'all. Oh, let me check with his father. Buddy, his father came out of the back. Would you please come pray with us? And I walked in the room, and the five that they allow in there, I said, I'm from Harvest Time Worship Center, a minister here in the local area. I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to pray for God to keep his hand on your son. You should have seen the tears that welled up in their faces. And I said, would you just stand and let's just join hands and pray together as a family. And we began to pray, and the presence of God came in and filled that room and began to comfort them. And I believe that it's important to have a relationship with God and confidence in God and your King and your God, that you can take authority of a situation. I didn't know these people. No clue who they were. Strangers to me, and I was a stranger to them. But when the day of trouble came, all of a sudden, oh God, we need you. We can become strangers to God. Strangers to God. I've come to the conclusion that a person can be baptized in the lovely Jesus. That same person can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. And that person can still be a stranger to God. It's all about choice. It's not a one-time experience. It's not a once-saved, always-saved moment. Once you got married, it wasn't, hey, we got married, we have a marriage license, now we're married. No, it takes relationship. It takes work. It takes patience. It takes love. It takes sometimes you saying, I'm sorry. It takes sometimes saying, I forgive you. It takes sometimes saying, hey, we're in this together. I understand we're like locomotives and we have that little whistle goes off. It ain't because they like to blow a whistle. It's because it's building up pressure and they got to relieve some steam. And sometimes you got to relieve some steam, but we're in this together. And if you don't have that kind of communication and relationship, your marriage, you can become a stranger. And it'll end up broken. Relationships take work. It takes work. You have to maintain relationships. Years ago when I was a boy, my dad bought a house in Katy. It was on Fox Bend Drive. And used to be rice fields out there. I hunted all of them. And now it's houses and Walmarts and Home Depots. And it's growing up. But when my dad went and we looked at this property, I'll never forget, as a little boy, it was a jungle. This man had a green thumb. He could grow anything like Brother Baggett can. He had 27 different types of pears, apples, plums, oranges. It was on an acre of land. And he had 27 trees. He had blackberry bushes, blueberry bushes. He had bushes everywhere. But when we went and looked at this property, he hadn't been there in about 5 or 6 years. It had grown up. And it was a jungle, vines everywhere, grass everywhere. I'm telling you, it was as tall as I am. We had to cut a trail to get in to see the house. We demoed the house and built another house there. But I'll never forget, we had to triple cut the yard. And they didn't have these zero-turn mowers. We had a little single-ride lawnmower with a steering wheel, and we had three of them in a row. The first one had the high setting, the second one had a little lower, and the third one had the baby on the bottom. And we followed and made a trail and worked our way. It took us about 2 weeks to clear off that pry. It was so thick. When my dad sold that property, it was beautiful. It was manicured. All the grass was in the right place. All the blades were going the right way. All the shrubs had been trimmed up. The house was nice and clean. It took work. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in an instant. It didn't happen in a day. We lived there 7 years. And in those 7 years, the 6 months before my dad sells it, it's for sale, he's got me out digging pecan tree holes way down deep to bury. Dad, why are we planting pecans? You're never going to see a pecan from this tree. I'm not planting this for me or you, son. I'm planting this for the next person who owns this or their children, because they will reap and they're going to look at this pecan tree and they're going to say, somebody put in some work and now I'm enjoying the pecans. I'm getting at it. It takes work to maintain and to grow and to take care of. You can become a stranger really quick. you can become isolated really fast. There was a great composer that lived from 1792 to 1868. His name was Rossini. And he was once presented a watch by the King of France, of which he was justly proud. He was best known for the operas, The Barber of Seville and the William Tell overtures. Several years after showing this watch to a friend, he was told that though he had possessed this watch for many years and showed it at many different events, of the King of France has given me this watch, that his friend told him, said, "Buddy, you don't even know the real value of what you have in your possession." He said, "Impossible. What do you mean? I've had it. I've looked at it. I've polished it. I've showed it everywhere. The King of France has presented this to me." And the friend took the watch and he touched a little secret spring on the back of the watch, and an inner case flew open. And inside was a beautiful miniature painting of Rossini himself. All the time, showing the watch, showing what it was on the outward appearance, he never realized what was on the inside of the watch. This is characteristic of many types of modern Christians. It values its ethics, and it is acquainted with and appreciates much of the teachings, but they have not truly discovered the inner secret that gives its supreme value. For years, Rossini had a watch and didn't know that the real reason why it was so valuable was not because of what was on the outside, but because of what was on the inside. Oh, you might look at this mortal body, and I know I'm big, I know I'm not pretty, I know some of us look nicer than others, and I'm on the not nicer than other list, but if you could see what's burning on the inside of this heart, if you knew the fire and the passion and the excitement when I see new people walk in the door, or I'm able to go and pray for somebody that I don't even know, and I begin to watch the tears, and they don't even know what's beginning to come over them, but they can feel it. What's on the inside of you is so much more valuable than that outward appearance that people look at. Oh, we've got to be proper. We've got to be put together and right. And we've got to be modest. And we've got to be pure and holy. I'm not discounting any of that. But it would it would be so much better to not only look it on the outside, but live it on the inside. And to have a pure heart. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God looks at your heart. And if you're a stranger to God, He still looks at your heart. He still knows what's going on. He knows everything about you. The number of hairs on your head, even if you add hair, take hair away, lose all your hair, it don't matter. He knows what's going on. The portrait on the inside, the value.